Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Sunday. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show, the after show for Before the 90 Days, Episode 3. Unfortunately, Kara or Didi will not be joining us tonight, but we do have a special guest who's going to come in and talk with us. Gina will be here. So we're going to get into this episode and try to. So we'll get Gina in here. We're going to start talking about episode 3. Hi, Wheels 1056. I love your name. Hi, Lisa. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting sick, but like not like fully sick. I'm in the vicinity of sick. So
take vitamin C in emergency.
Yeah, I got some tea and coffee and I'm gonna be like good on my vitamins and stuff. But this happens to me all the time. I get sick all the time. It's not weather related. I just get sick. I don't know. So but we're gonna get into this episode 3 of Before the 90 Days. So I wanna talk about Rain and Chitty first, because we got the big scene with the chickens, right? So we saw what happened, her reaction to Victoria purchasing, because okay, so she had arrived in Lagos and she spent the night there, and they were going to have a big meal together, right? They were going to cook dinner for her to welcome her, you know, into the home, and they were going to have chicken, which is, you know, a pretty normal thing that you would eat in Africa, right? Like, chicken is pretty normal. So they took her to the market, and their market is a very fresh market, right? A little more fresh than we're used to here in the U.S. So they were going to actually kill a live chicken to bring home to cook. And Rain or Renee was very offended by the idea of killing a chicken. But Victoria brought up a really good rebuttal, because she was like, well, don't you eat chicken? And she's like, well, yeah, I totally will eat chicken. I just won't be a part of killing it. And it's kind of hypocritical, right? Because I know I have friends that are vegan. And if it was alive, they have no part in it, right? They won't eat it. They don't support the eating of it. They don't support of killing it. You know, so Rain is kind of on both sides of the fence. You know how you have that one friend who's like kind of playing both sides? She's playing both sides of the fence because she raises chickens as her family, right? As her own, but she also eats them, which, you know, in a human standpoint, that's like saying that you love humans, but you're also a cannibal, right? Like, it's really hypocritical. So I want to get your thoughts on that, because most people on X or Twitter said that she's missing all of the screws, right? Like, she's a few tools short of the toolbox. So is that how you feel too?
I think she's wearing an invisible tinfoil hat, you know, like the phrase, like people who are, well, like Renee, shouldn't generalize that. Sometimes they wear a tinfoil hat, and she is one of them. But I was just like, oh my God, why are you such a hypocrite? Like, you eat chicken. Oh, well, I can't see it. Like, the butcher needs, if it had feelings, the butcher needed to have feelings. What feelings? No butcher has feelings. They're there to make money, to sell you the product.
Well, I don't like how she was blaming everyone else. Like, she's blaming Victoria. She's like, well, she knows that I love chickens. She would kill a person's family in front. Like, she was weaponizing her love for chickens and using it against everyone involved. Like, I would never go to the grocery store and ask for the name of the supplier of a certain type of meat and then weaponize that person or that company and say that they don't have feelings. You know, you can definitely have feelings and work as a butcher or work in a slaughterhouse farm. Like, it doesn't make you a bad person. And I felt like she was trying to make it seem like people who kill chickens are bad people. Because if you could put that in a category, people who eat chickens are bad people, you know, because if you really care about, because there's a lot of people, PETA, you know, there's people who fight for the rights of animals and they fight for the rights of treatment of animals. And if you really, really gave a damn, you wouldn't eat it, right? Like, okay, so for instance, my favorite animal when I was a kid was a giraffe. So when I got older, I used to join all these groups so I could get like up close and personal with giraffes, and I would donate and become members of these groups. And the last thing I would ever do to this day or ever in my life is eat a giraffe, because I really, really care about that animal. So it's like the idea that she thinks that she can care about the animal and then eat the animal at the same time is just crazy.
Well, doesn't she make her bread and butter, Renee, like selling eggs and chickens and stuff like right. that? What do you think these people are going to do with the chickens?
They're going to
just let them wander in like their gardens or their farms? No. It's to reproduce, make eggs, make money. Well, so, but
right. I and to say that, because did you notice in some of the scenes we were watching them walk through the market in Lagos and there were just random chickens roaming yeah. free? So I was like, if anything, they definitely respect, because, you know, in America, they put them all on a farm and put them in a gate, in a coop, and they're not allowed to. Right. So I was like, they definitely respect the animal, because there were just random chickens roaming around. Nobody was trying to eat those.
It's just right? like with turkey and with their love for the cats, too. But they're not going to eat the cats, obviously, but because it's, you know, but I was going to say, too, I wrote it down, like, Victoria's house is nice. From what
it was,
from the standards that we've seen TLC, whether it be Michael and Angela, like from the standards, I'm like, dang, that house is kind of nice.
No, it was nice. And also, I want to bring up the cooking of the breakfast. So Shitty woke up and cooked her breakfast, which his independence is so impressive to me. And also, we're going to get into Brian and his independence too later, but he's very independent, and I did get a little nervous. He had a really sharp, long knife, and he was kind of, and it made me nervous because I didn't know if he knew that Renee was behind her, and he was like swinging the knife around. But the fact that he can cook, cut up things with the knife, light up the gas stove, all of the things that he could do, you know, not being able to see, really makes me realize how much I take advantage of what I have, you know. And I think this is a real eye opener for me. I remember, okay, this is going to sound stupid, but I was in the shower and I was washing whatever little hair that I have, and I got shampoo in my eyes. And, you know, once you get shampoo in your eyes, you can't see, it burns. You have to like run the shower over your eyes for a while. And I was like, you know, temporarily unable to see until I could fix that. And I remember shuffling around and almost falling, you know, just from like 2 seconds of not being able to see. And then I'm watching Chitty as all of the things that he's able to do, like all of the hazards that he has to go through just in his town, right? Like of going out and doing things. And then it makes me realize like, wow, I was like unable to see for 2 seconds and almost fell. And this man is able to live, cook, you know, become independent and do all these things. It really opened my eyes to, you know, the struggles that people have and how we just take full advantage, you know, of those things that we have. And we're not appreciative, you know, of having eyesight, having hearing, having your limbs, you know, like we're not appreciative of that.
Your senses actually, from what I've read or heard, your senses actually, if you one takes away your sense of smell, your like sense of taste, your sense of hearing, if you're blind, is enhanced because you have to learn how to like have to learn how to adapt, right? So your senses are more with the different other senses that you have.
Well, yeah, he said that the market, it was really distracting and disorienting because his hearing is so heightened.
Yeah.
So, you know, we heard all the horns, the cars, the killing of chickens, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, for you to take in. And you also take advantage, you don't really appreciate that as well. You know, when our senses are evenly distributed, So it's the sound doesn't get to that point because it's evenly distributed. But when you take away a sense and then one is so much more heightened than the others, it does. It's very distracting. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to really focus. And that's something that he's dealing with on a daily basis, you know? So I was impressed watching him cook breakfast on his own without, and the way that he wanted her to sit down and not help him. I'm just so impressed by the level of independence that everyone this season has, you know, suffering from, you know, different disabilities. I don't even like to call them disabilities, but like disadvantages. They still want to be independent and take care of themselves and be their own individual without asking for help. And I think that's just really admirable.
Definitely.
So Chidi finally found out that it's time to tell her, right? So Chidi told Renee that they're not going to be having sex. His vow to God is that he's going to be celibate. And she didn't take it well. You know, she was very upset. And, you know, I can understand that traveling thousands and thousands of, you know, almost 10,000 miles across the world to be with someone that you've been talking to for 5.5 years and y'all have had conversations about being intimate. And then when you get there, the story has changed. You know, how would you feel? Would you feel like you were betrayed if you got there and then found out after the fact that y'all weren't going to be intimate? Because I know that you're kind of like strangers, right? Like I see it from both sides because you've never physically met, even though you've been talking for 5 years. It's not the same as having a real relationship, a bond, a friendship for 5 years in person. Like, when is an acceptable amount of time after you arrive that you would expect that you guys would be intimate together? Or do you feel that way at all?
Well, first, I wouldn't travel that far for a booty call.
For
Sorry.
nobody, for
For
nobody.
nobody. For
Oh.
nobody. It's not worth it. And you were talking to 5 years, then, like, obviously she was led on to believe different. Like, he portrayed himself differently. So that's obviously not a red flag, but maybe she made more of it than what it actually was, and maybe it was just to entice her to go there so then they can see how they would work out, right? Like, because he hid that he was blind, and then like just different little things. And I do like him. Like I do like him. I have a soft spot for him. Like I do like him, but I think there may be more to it than what she's portraying, like, oh, well, this and that, and the text messages. But when you're actually text messaging somebody, it's portrayed differently than if you're actually face to face or on the phone. So she could have, and plus, she has a tinfoil hat on. So, Lord, like, with about
Well,
aliens and stuff, she could be like, oh, like, she could even be making this stuff up about everything because it wouldn't surprise me.
he did withhold the blind thing from her in the beginning. You know, I look for patterns. So, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, but I don't know if that is something that you lead with. Because watching the show, we're starting to learn that people don't always reveal things right away. Like, we're learning that if someone is trans, they don't always tell the person on the first date, right? Like you do want to try to get to know somebody before you tell them something. Like you're obviously they're not going to be intimate on the first date. It's not necessary to bring it up. So I was like, well, maybe Chitty felt like, well, I'm not going to physically be on a date with her. We're not going to be physically out here. It's not necessary for me to tell her that. Because if you consider it a disadvantage or something that about you that might be negative, because we watched that with Brian, it isn't necessarily something you want to lead with, right? Like we
Yeah.
as us, like me and you, we wouldn't lead into a conversation as, oh, I don't work well with others, or I don't catch on to things as fast as other people. Like we don't lead with our disadvantages when we meet people. We put our best foot forward, and then later on, people learn, you know, that we have these things about us that people don't really like. So I look at it like that too. I was like, maybe he didn't tell her because it wasn't pertinent information. Because, you know, when you want to get to know someone and you want them to get to know the real you, your disadvantages are not really that big of a percentage of who you are. You're so much more than just being blind, or so much more than being quadriplegic, or so much more just than being trans. So I think it's important that people get to know the person before they start taking, you know, their disadvantages and making judgment off of that.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't know. Like, she's just out of
Well,
this world.
she's just interesting. The way that she said she was going to get violent. And I was like, well, what do you mean by getting violent? Are you going to like physically attack the butcher? Are you going to like, Are you
Are you
gonna
gonna throw a chicken at him?
Well,
Like,
right, like
were you gonna grab a chicken and
the
throw it
way
at him?
that
Like,
he behaved, it was just so erratic and strange, and it was just really confusing for me because, you know, I never looked at her as a completely all the tools in the shed, shiny and working person from the beginning. Like she definitely was different for me, but I was just like the way that she reacted to the chicken situation. And then when Victoria took her to the side and was like, "You eat chicken, so
right?
like you can't behave that way," because she's acting like a member of PETA, right, at a chicken
Be one thing
festival.
if she was a vegetarian and been like, I don't eat meat, or I don't eat eggs, I don't eat
Right,
like
but
dairy, like.
not only does she eat it, like you said, that she sells chickens and sells eggs, so she's sort of exploiting chickens at the same time, right? Because like those same chickens that she has laying in her bed, she's taking their babies, because let's get technical for a second. Those eggs hatch into chickens, so she's taking those children from the mother, because she said it. She's like, "Would you really kill a family member in front of them?" Well,
Well,
you
she
rock.
is.
Right? Let's be technical, right? She's taking that unhatched baby from the mother and selling it to someone who is going to eat it. That is literally the definition of a hypocrite, right?
Well, did you see her face when she was like, when Victoria questioned her, was just like, well, you, like again, with the eating chicken part, she was kind of like backpedaling, like, oh, like, and caught off guard. Like, when I saw her face, she was like, like when I was watching it, she was like kind of backpedaling it and like going off guard about it and stuff like that. I
Well,
don't.
she knew that she had gotten, she was, he got her. She got her. Victoria was like, "Well, look, I would understand this reaction from a vegan or a vegetarian or, you know, someone who actually had a leg to stand on in this situation, but like you literally sell chickens and eggs to people. So like you are no better than this butcher. So placing yourself on a pedestal up here when you are doing basically the same thing is completely crazy. Like you are literally on the same level." Right? Like you might not take a knife and cut its head off, but you're literally selling its children to people so they can eat them. You know, like it's pretty much the same thing.
Doesn't make any sense. She doesn't make
None
any sense, but
of
then.
it makes sense. Yeah, Jacquezi, she sells chickens and eggs. That's how she says she actually supports her whole family. She has 2 kids, and she has a farm. She has other animals as well, but she said the majority of her financial support comes from selling chicken eggs. So it's just so hypocritical, right? And it's like, I
She's
hate
the
to.
pimp of the chickens. She's.
Right. They're base She's basically the pimp, and the chickens are making her cash. And then she somehow feels like she's holier than people who eat the chickens, which is okay. So I want to talk about the new people tonight. So we got Veya and Sunny. And I wanted to get raw reactions from you because Veya, okay, so do you remember Zaid and Rebecca? Do you remember we called Rebecca the filter queen? Because so a
Yes.
lot of people are saying that Veya is filter queen 2.0. So do you remember the pictures that Sunny showed us tonight on the episode versus who we
Yes.
saw tonight? How do you feel about that?
You know what? Honestly, if like as long as it's, you're not portraying yourself to be Kim Kardashian, because we all know that, is not possible. Like I filter some of my pictures too, by all means. Like, you know, like you're on TV, you're trying to put your best foot forward, by all means, right? But it's one thing to majorly filter yourself, like a Darcy and Stacey situation, but a little filter didn't hurt anybody, right? When you've got a little blemish here, a little blemish there, but she lives in Orlando. She's so close to you. Go find
She
her.
does. I know. I was very surprised. I was very surprised she's my neighbor, basically. But yeah, I saw the pictures, and you know, I did see the people were posting the Rebecca and Zayed pictures where Rebecca was wearing the filtered picture on his shirt at the airport. And then when Rebecca arrived, the girl on the shirt didn't match the girl in the airport. Okay, Jacquezi, that's exactly where I was going next. Jacquezi was like, "What about the fact that she looks older than 27?" So
She's young.
the internet has been going deep, and they were like, you know, we can buy a lot of things that people sell, but her being 27, you know, I'm gonna need to see a receipt because they're just not seeing it. And I was like, 27 is a reach. I would have said 35, right? And that's like being very generous. Like she could even easily be in the 37, 38 range.
She looks about my age, and we'll
I
just
don't know
be
if
at the
she's,
40 mark.
yeah, I don't
That's
know
it.
if she's lying about her age, but you know, the internet, they caught it right away. X and Twitter fans were like, well, one thing about 27 and her is she's not 27. They were like, well, that's the first thing we're gonna say. She's completely lying about that. And then we met Sunny, but we're also meeting Rory, so it's kind of like a love triangle, right? So Rory is her ex that she was dating, I guess, prior to Sunny, and she's bringing Rory with her to South Africa, in order because she doesn't want to be alone, which was confusing to me because she had two able-bodied friends that were with her at her house that she could have asked to go with her. I just think it's really interesting to bring an ex, because I've talked about the ex subject a lot on my podcast, and it's touchy because everybody feels different about it. Some people are like, I can be friends with them because if I wanted to be with them, we would still be together. And then some people look at it as, well, I always look at it as there's still feelings lingering, even because a lot of people will say the hate they have for their ex, there's a little love in the fuel for that hate because it's like a betrayal or they cheated and the relationship ended badly, so that the hate is driven by some sort of love. So, how do you feel about her bringing an ex across the world to meet a boyfriend?
Don't understand. Like, why? Why? Like, you can be civil with an ex, but obviously there's some red flags there that they're still in each other's lives for a reason, and they don't want to cut ties with each other. Like, I've
Right.
cut ties with my exes, and the only thing that we say to each other on a yearly basis, and I said this before, is like, happy birthday. That's about it. Right? Like, no.
You said on Facebook you say happy birthday, which, that's pretty standard. I have people that I went to middle school and high school with. I say happy birthday on their wall on Facebook, and that's pretty much the
That's
extent
the
of,
extent of the whole conversation. Like, if we run into each other, like in the cities doing something or at the amusement park or whatever, we'll say, hey, what's going on? How are you? But has the family, that's about it. Like, and there is nothing outside of that. But the fact that she's bringing in an ex and didn't it, like, say, like, to one of her friends with her anxiety and whatnot that she claims, like, it could be true, right? She did say she doesn't fly a lot, right? Bring a friend, not your ex. It's a red flag. It would be a red flag for me if someone was, well, first, I wouldn't want that to happen. Someone was traveling with me and brought his ex-girlfriend. Like, are you DeLulu? Like, you're
Well,
out of your mind. And it's like, I don't know where they are. I couldn't remember. I didn't write it down, but it's like, there's a very, like, it's in somewhere in South Africa where they've got, and he's Muslim too. Like,
it's South
you're out
Africa.
of
I
your
think
mind.
it's in Danish, South Africa, but he's actually from Bangladesh. But you're right. That's another aspect. He's Muslim, and Muslim men are very strict on, especially their wives or fiancés speaking to other men. Because, in the Muslim religion, a woman is, if she's married to a Muslim man, she's not even really allowed to, like, have a conversation with another man. We were actually watching this a little bit with Tiger Lily and Adnan tonight. So that's going to be an issue, I can tell. And the main thing that he brought up, that Sonny brought up tonight with his friend Ali, was there's trust issues. He said that when they have a fight, she just doesn't answer the phone. She ghosts him. She disappears. When you're really far away from each other, ghosting people is detrimental to the relationship because it basically means you've erased that person from your life. And we've heard couples that do this on the show before. They just, and then when you're ready to talk to them again, you'll start taking their calls. But I don't trust that because it means that you had the option and opportunity to X them from your life like they never existed. So I feel like you never were in love because if you were, because if they were local, would you have done the same thing? Because if they were local, would you just pretend that they don't live in the same apartments as you? Like, would you just ignore them? I don't think you would.
Exactly. And why is her ex on his Facebook or his Instagram, sorry, laughing at his pictures?
See, I think that's jealousy, and like, cause I was like, he's like, oh, he takes too many selfies. I was like, that's what people say when they're jealous of the person, or that's the new boyfriend, girlfriend of the new girl. Like, that's not what an ex that doesn't care would say. First of all, why are you on his Instagram?
Right?
If
That
she,
was my whole point. Why are you on his Instagram? Why do you care? If you're just friends, then you're not going to be on his Instagram.
exactly, if you're stalking the new guy's Instagram, you're not over your ex. Because you want to know who she's dating, you want to see every selfie he posts, you want to know who he's talking to, what he looks like. That's a red flag for me. Like, if you're all, because there is no reason why he should even be on the Instagram. You could know that she's dating him, but there's no reason for you on your personal account to be on his personal account commenting, especially laughing emojis, basically saying, "You're not good enough. I would be a better boyfriend." That's what I get from that. Like, it's just hate and jealousy. And it makes me wonder, you know, if they broke up and she's moving on to another person, like you said, but she won't move forward from her ex. If Rory is still around, there's something there. Because, you know, and another thing that I was thinking, if I was to bring my ex to meet a new person, like, how often does an ex usually ever say anything positive about you? So, like, that's like me bringing a hater with me to hate on me. Because usually exes don't break up, and it's usually not like two best friends after a breakup. It's usually you saying vile things about each other, right? Like, that's usually how it goes. So I wouldn't want to bring a vile person with me to introduce to the person that I'm trying to convince to love me, because it's not going to go well. They're going to tell them all of my flaws and then some exaggerations of my flaws to make me seem like a piece of crap.
Pretty much.
Well, I'm interested in the storyline though, because I'm intrigued. And when I found out she was local too, I was even more intrigued. So I'm going to be looking for her and Sunny around the city now, just to see if I've run into them. But oh, I want to get into Brian and Ingrid. So Brian got to Brazil, and he, first off, he got there, things went well, and he number one asked Ingrid to install his hand controls, which confused her because she was like, he's usually told me that he travels alone, he doesn't need anyone, he doesn't need help, he's independent. So her being a woman, she got her nails done, her hair done for this meeting. She was not physically ready to do mechanic work on a car. So she was like, okay, I'll do that. You know, strike one, right? Strike one. She was gonna let it go. And then they get back to the hotel, and he kind of shows everything right away, right? So he has a bag that collects the urine. And you know, she knew about it because she had seen the catheter before, but he kind of put it in her face, right? He was like, oh, I'm gonna put this on. And he kind of came on really strong. So I wanted to ask you, how do you feel? Because obviously, you know, these are things that need to be discussed and understood if you're gonna be in a relationship. But how would you feel if you were Ingrid and this was the first night and he's showing you all of these different things and kind of involving you in it, right? Because she literally rolled over to the bed and turned around and was like, I don't want to know. Is that how you would feel too?
He's like he said in like the interview, like he's perfectly capable of doing it himself, and he was just taking advantage of the whole situation itself just to see what she would do, or like to, I think, to get like to have any sympathy, to get closer to her type of thing like that. But he's totally giving me Garrett vibes from Seeking Sister Wives. I don't know what it is. I don't know. He's totally giving me some Garrett vibes.
Garrick, really?
Yeah,
That's
because he's
interesting.
always going to Brazil. He's always going to Brazil. He's always finding these Brazilian beauties, right? He's always going to Brazil. Same
Yeah.
with Garrett. Always trying to find like those. That's the only comparison. Not having more than
That's
one.
interesting. I didn't
And
get
the
that.
fact that he's been engaged like four times, right?
Okay.
Like.
And there were, and some were Brazilian. Okay, so I didn't get the vibe, but I see the journey to how we got here. I can see that. That's interesting. And I mean, I think Ingrid, being someone who's never been in a relationship with a quadriplegic, a person in a wheelchair, I think that I was always taught that you expose people to things a little bit at a time, right? So like when you're learning to drive a car, you wouldn't go on the I-95 or the 405 the first day that you start driving a car, right? Because that's way too much for anybody just starting out. You would go to the parking lot of like an old rundown Kmart, right? Like you would go where you have space. You can ease into things. And I think that also works with exposing people to just anything that's different. There's nothing wrong with the way, you know, Brian has to go through life and the things that he has to do. But I think introducing people into that, because I think he basically was saying, I wanted to test and see how, you know, how she reacted. Sometimes exposing people to things too quickly, it's not going to get a good reaction because a person is just shocked.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're, you know, I call it scaring people away, you know, like, because
Well,
they.
the fact like he's been on a plane for how long and transferring for how long, a quadriplegic, at least in my cousin's case, because he's one. That's why this story is totally giving me like creepy vibes. He has to use the washroom every 40, like use the washroom every 48 hours, type of thing like that, because he has a catheter, he has a bag, and whatnot. I don't need to know any other details. Like, he's had a girlfriend before, never knew about the aneurysm, don't ask, right? Never knew about the details that he's sharing. So this story kind of hits close to home, but kind of doesn't. I just kind of want to block it out because it's too close for comfort for me. So, but with the maneuvering, the driving or whatnot, it's, I don't think it would be easy for someone to install it just because, or for someone who is a quadriplegic to install it themselves, just because of like you're shuffling, you're moving around,
I
right? So I don't.
did think that because he showed us the mobility of his hands,
Yeah.
right? And he can't squeeze the way that his hands work, he can't actually like grip. But I was wondering, do you think that he could have actually asked the car rental place to install that, but he wanted to see how Ingrid reacted to being asked? Do you think that's what he was trying to do?
They probably didn't wouldn't know how to do it, right? Because
Oh.
like you got to put in that factor because like how many like everyone should be independent. So, but a lot of people who are on like who's a quadriplegic probably can't drive or won't drive or too afraid to drive, and that's why they're not probably specialized in it. I don't know. Like I think for my cousin, he had a mechanic put it in, but like or a specialized mechanic that specializes in that. But it just yeah, he just yeah. I don't think a lot of and like needed to be like it's kind of like I think in Brazil, if I'm not mistaken, they would drive mostly standard too, not automatic. And this car works like when they put in like the special equipment or whatnot, works almost like an automatic. So my cousin had asked me to drive his car and I'm like, no, I
See,
refuse to drive your car.
this was educational for me because I was always taught that if someone was in a wheelchair, quadriplegic or paraplegic, and all of the controls were on the steering wheel and there were buttons. So this was a learning experience for me. I didn't realize that you could take any car and install the controls. I was under the impression that the car had to have the controls built into the steering wheel. So this, I mean, like I said, it was very educational for me, but I think for Ingrid, just like when you're in school, you're in college and you go to school and you take four classes in one day and every professor wants to teach you everything in that one day and you're like, this is a lot of information for me to retain in one day. I think she was overwhelmed. I think that she looked at it as this is obviously as the trip went on, she was going to be exposed to more and more of his daily activities, but I think what he did was a lot, and I'm just worried that he's gonna scare her away. And I think this might be something that he does. He might come on too strong because he's worried that women will be turned off by what he has to go through. And I think he exposes it to them really fast. And then he might be right. A lot of women are like, well, I can't deal with this. This is a lot. I've
But
never.
after like the fourth or fifth time, wouldn't you already know like and learn from your mistakes? Like, hey, maybe I shouldn't have do this and do this instead, or that like you know, like
You
it's
would
just
think, because let's
you.
not forget, he's also gonna tell her what really happened with his ex-wife and how he got in the chair in the first place, which, I don't know if you guys read
I've
the
read
stuff
it.
online. Yeah, but it's not good, right? Like, this is not good. Like, she's not gonna be happy to hear that it happened because of infidelity,
I'm
right?
actually surprised his car in the United States because my cousin has one, like his wheelchair. It actually he hooks it to this thing and it goes up, like he presses a button and it goes up, and then it folds into this like car port thingy, like on top of his car, like it's kind of like
Oh,
a
yeah,
yeah.
his was in the passenger seat, wasn't it?
Yeah,
The
I think it's
chair?
his is in the passenger seat, and it was just causing my cousin to have more back problems, so he invested in that, and it literally just hook it and just put it up, or someone puts it in the back seat. But then he's got this little mechanism going on. He hooks it to the thing, and it goes up, and then it folds in, and then it closes.
Well, I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I have high hopes for this relationship. I do
No,
like
I know.
Ingrid, though. I do
I
like
do like
Ingrid.
her too. She's very patient and like Kara had said last week, she shows a lot of love and care when she first saw him and like took the time to get ready, and like there's some love and empathy there as well, right? But he's coming off too strong, I think. So, and that
Yeah.
could be for many
She has
reasons. So.
babies too, like taking on, because he is selling himself as being super independent. He didn't need help. But in actuality, he does need something from time to time. And she has to be willing to give that to him, as well as take care of her babies, and as well as do, the things that her responsibilities are. That's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. He's been married a lot of times. So I feel like there's probably something going on with him, like you said, that is rubbing women the wrong way. And I don't think it has to do with the chair, like you said. I think it has to do with other things. And we're probably gonna learn more about that as we go along, because he makes it seem like, oh, well, women are, they're afraid of a man in a chair. And I was like, I don't think it's that. I think you might be doing something specific that they don't like, and it doesn't really have to do with you being in a wheelchair. I think you might just be a liar or a cheater, or it's a behavior of yours, that women all find repulsive. Women don't want certain behaviors out of
Well,
their
his
spouses,
daughter
you know?
did say, don't bring a ring with you, right? Like,
Yeah,
dropping
because
him off at the
that's his
airport.
MO. That's his MO right away, trying to get engaged, trying to get married, and that can scare a woman away. It's really ironic because a lot of men are like, women just want to get married and they want to get engaged. And I was like, yeah, and in the right timeline, women do want to get married. They want to be engaged, but not like 15 minutes after meeting you. Like there's a timeline that they're looking for. Obviously, if you've known her for 8 years and you're not engaged, she's probably going to leave you. But if you've known her for 8 days and you're not engaged, she's probably okay with it, right? She's still getting to know you. So I think he's rushing things, which I get it. He's 51. He wants to find a forever partner, and he's been married so many times. So I understand it from both directions, but still.
Yeah, I
Oh,
don't know. There's something going on with that.
so Adnan and Tiger Lily have gotten married, and they have consummated the marriage. He refused to give us any details, but he did tell us that he's no longer a virgin, which I would assume, right?
I think so.
He,
Yes.
so that's, that he gave us the detail on that. But something that he said tonight was really interesting. He said that he doesn't have a problem with her not wearing a hijab and showing her hair. And he doesn't even have any intention of wanting her to convert. This is new for me, right? Like, this is new for me, for a Muslim man to not have that intention
Oh,
is really new.
it's just a show, George. It's just you wait. No, it's just for a now thing, 'cause it's just like, oh, we're newly married. I'm just gonna like do what I want. Like, I'm just gonna make my wife happy right now, but things will change.
Oh, so you think it's the relationship is too fresh, the marriage is too fresh for him to really start to show
The
his true color?
control.
Oh, okay.
Because
So,
the control factor that he had with the hairdresser, or that with her friends,
yeah,
with like everything else.
I wanted to talk about the hairdresser situation, because he literally stood there and watched, and then he had the audacity to set a timer. Now, one thing I know about women, hair salons, and hairstyles. I know when a woman goes to the hair salon, we could talk. We're talking maybe 2 hours to 5 hours, sometimes 6 or 7 hours, depending on the type of hairstyle they're getting done.
Just
So,
went on Friday, 2.5 hours to get my hair
right?
colored.
Like, this is not
So,
an in and out thing, right? So he's like, oh, I'll give you 5 minutes. And I was like, see, I can tell you're new to women, because 5 minutes is not even enough time for a woman to put on lipstick. Like, that's crazy to me. And the idea that he doesn't want her to convert. He doesn't want her to cover her hair, but he doesn't want her to be around any other man. It's really conflicting for
it's
me.
just the small things. Like, first, it's like, I don't want you to be around other men. And then it's going to be a bigger change, and then a bigger change, and a bigger change. I must say, though, his mom is very beautiful. His mom is very stunning. She's very beautiful. She's a very beautiful woman.
She had her hair covered. Because I
Yeah.
was like,
Well,
it's
partial, because you
weird.
can see like the bangs or whatnot.
Right,
But her makeup was
but
done, her makeup was on point. Yeah.
I don't know. I want to believe that he's gonna be the controlling person, because it's been, I don't think we've ever met a Muslim man that didn't want some form of control over his wife, right? Like, it's part of their religion, it's part of the book that they study, and it's I don't like it. It's like a cookie cutter story. Like, we've been watching the same story over and over. So when he said that, I was a little confused. Also, at the wedding ceremony celebration, not the ceremony itself. They were eating with their hands and everyone was reaching their hand into the food. It was like I wanted to call the health department, like really bad. It was so gross. And I understand that Muslims use their hands to eat. I actually was watching Forbidden Love, and the guy said that they actually wipe themselves with their hands, like when they go to the bathroom, and one hand is for bathroom, and the other hand is for
For
eating.
eating, yeah.
And they don't use toilet paper. And it just blew my mind because I'm a very germophobic person. So the idea of eating with my hands or going to the bathroom with my hands, it just seems like a disease waiting to happen, right? Like I would be so when I watched, he would literally reach his hand in the food and then put it in her mouth. It was new for me,
Yeah.
right? Like that was the whole thing was new for me. And it was new for her too, because she's like, I'm not used to so many people trying to shove food in my mouth, right? She's like, it's just really weird. But I get that part of their religion is the cleanliness, right? And being closer to God through cleanliness and then eating. The hand goes straight from the food to the mouth, and it's I've heard them explain it before. It made sense. It's crazy to me because I could never eat with my hands. I mean, I'm eating fried chicken with my hands.
Tacos,
There's certain stuff that you get,
pizza.
chicken wings, pizza. I get it, but like what they were eating, that was spoon and fork food, right? Like that was spoon and fork, and that was
Rice and
And then they were
sheep.
eating it, and then the spit from their hands, and they're going back in. It was just,
Oh,
it was a lot for me. I needed to
oh.
call the food department, the health department, and I needed the violations to be written up like now. So I was like,
Yeah,
no.
no. But honestly, who goes to bed? Or who wakes up with like false lashes, eyeliner? I'm like, oh God. And she couldn't have done her own hair. Like, are you kidding me? And then I was wondering through the whole ordeal, like with like when they went to register for the wedding or whatnot, I'm like, okay, you just signed something. You don't know what you
Somewhere,
signed. You
right?
have no idea what you signed. Why didn't you take out your phone? Google has a thing now where you can put the like take a scan something and it'll tell you exactly what it says. And the fact she didn't have her friends there, I thought her friends were like for a while until she said that I gave them the day off. I thought they had like just arrived for the
That was
arrival with
the,
the hair and the makeup and that was
yeah,
it.
that was the next day. When they arrived, she got married, the ceremony that night. Then the next morning was when she was gonna go meet the parents. She had already given them the day off. And I was like, see, these are sounding more like employees, because she made it seem like, well, yeah, they're my employees, but they're my friends. They should wanna be there with you to support you.
Exactly.
An employee would be like, no, nah, I'm off today. Don't call me, don't text me. That's an employee. Your friends should want to be there when you meet his family, should want to be there when you're getting married, should want to be there for the
For the
ceremony,
celebration.
for the
Yeah.
celebration. And why are they even there if they're not going to be doing her hair and doing the makeup? Like, why are you even there? Like, at this point, I'm just confused at the whole presence of them being there.
Hell, if someone wants to pay me for like for me to keep them company and give me so many days off, like and you want to pay for the flight, by all means, you can do that. I will gladly accept that.
I mean, I'm open to that. Hold on, there's somebody we didn't talk about. Oh, Lauren and Faith. So Lauren has arrived in the Philippines and he had enough money to book his hotel for 20 days
Did
at.
he? Did he? Did he book the
Well,
hotel though?
we think. We don't know. We don't know if Faith actually paid because this is her job. So she could have asked for a comped room. Like, we don't know exactly.
Discounted room, a
Right,
discounted
we don't,
room,
yeah.
please.
I'm pretty sure when you work there, like if the rate's 150 a night, like an employee can get it for like $75, right? Like
Exactly.
that's usually how it works. So she probably got him a deep discount, but she's gonna notice right away because somebody brought this up. He got there with a backpack. So he didn't have any clothes. He didn't nowhere near enough for 20 days. So he's gotta go shopping and buy some stuff. And then we
On her,
saw in the preview.
hopefully not on her dime. Like,
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. I'm pretty
hell
sure.
no.
Because in the preview, Faith was taking him shopping because obviously he had no clothes. And she was like, I'm not with him for the money, but she was like, I also feel like he should have more. She was like, he has so little money. And it's funny because I was always taught, if you don't have any money, take your broke ass home. So there's no chance that you would catch me on a vacation or out on somebody's airplane or going to another country with no money. That's crazy. First of all, my anxiety wouldn't let me. Like, I have to, like, if I'm going on vacation, I have to have at least a couple of $1,000 to bring with me just in case, just to make my nerves calm down enough. Because what if you get over there and something happens and they ground all the airplanes and the only flight out costs
Well,
$1,500,
that's how you
right? Like, say,
have
remember when
insurance.
there was all those issues over there in Israel and with all the and people, the planes were grounded and there was no way to get out. Like, that's the type of stuff that goes through my mind. So the idea that, oh yeah, Jay Queezy, he brought $46 on a 21 or a 20-day trip to the Philippines
So that's like
shows you.
$2 a day almost, or $3 a day that he plans on spending.
Yeah, well, I think the money, our money is worth a little more over there. So like it's probably gonna triple, but still, come on now. $2, $3 a day, that's not even gonna cover your food, your expenses. And he didn't have any clothes. I know he went there with the intention of using faith. I know that's what he was gonna do. He went there with that intention. I think that he thought that he was gonna stay with her for free. I think that's what he originally initially thought. Then when she got there, she was like, look. Because she did admit tonight she's been in relationships with men, but none where she actually had feelings for the person. So this is the first time that she loves someone and is in a relationship with them. So she wants to take it slow. She doesn't want to just hop in the bed. You know, that's a mistake that she had made in the past.
I like her, I really do, and he's just gonna trample on her and use her. And she's like so hardworking and dedicated, and she's a hustler. Like, she has like three jobs, four jobs, and he's just gonna hurt her and walk all over her. And then when she finds out I want an open relationship, she's gonna be like, heck no. Was that his mom, or was that her mom in the preview for next week?
Yes, that was her mom, which that's big, you know, meeting her mom. I think that when he sold himself to her, it was all lies. Because when the mom was asking, like, you know, well, what's going to happen? What are your intentions? And he's like, oh, I kind of want to stay here. And she was like, that's not what we talked about. You know, we talked about you bringing me over to Las Vegas and I could work and I could have a better life. And like, again, he's reverse green carding her. So basically, you know, the scam is actually reversed. He's trying to squat into her life because imagine your life in the US is so messed up that the Philippines seems like a better option. Like, imagine the bad decisions that you have to make. Because in Faith's mind, she was like, I could go over there and live the best life. I could work hard.
Better life. Yeah.
Exactly. And she could, because she's, like you said, she's a hard worker. She doesn't run from work. And I feel like Lauren runs from work. He runs from that. Because it pissed me off a little bit tonight when I saw that he had money for the hotel. Because you know, I've been watching the Reddit posts. And
Oh
he keeps
God.
saying all these
No.
nasty. He says all these nasty things
Oh,
about his
I
ex-wife.
know. I
And he's like,
know.
oh, she wants me to pay all this child support. And I was like, she doesn't want you to, Lauren.
Like,
You're
it's
supposed
an
to. It's an
obligation for
obligation,
you
right?
to
Like,
do
she
with
doesn't want
yours.
anything from you. You are court ordered to pay her child. She doesn't want anything. How dare he make it seem like she's a horrible human being for wanting the best possible life for the children that he abandoned? Like, he's really getting to me. And I just, when I saw him show up and he had money for the hotel, and I was like, so he just inserts himself in other people's lives and takes advantage. That's exactly what he does.
He is a leech. He is a blood-sucking leech. And I'm sorry, what would he do? Oh, with these 40 questions, like, you have a peanut brain. What are you gonna do? Like, are you gonna give it
So,
to like a
Faith
psychiatrist?
handed it.
Because you're the one that needs help, dude. You're the one that needs
Faith
help.
handed it back to him and was just like, so we're in grade school. And I'm hoping that she catches the red flags. And it also that pissed me off a little bit too, because in his opinion, he was like, I need to make sure you're good enough for me. And I was like, bro,
She's
you're
too
not good
good.
for her, right? Like, she needs to run from you. You are not the catch here, right? Like, you have no one should be subjected to whatever you got going on in your life. You need to just be alone for a while and just figure all this hot mess of a life out before you involve anybody else. So when he handed her the test, I was like, how dare you think that you have the option to say, oh, well, if you don't pass this test, you're not good enough to be with me. I was like, please, he's serious. She is literally, she is basically the top of the line. She's a Lexus Cadillac of women compared to what he deserves. So it was kind of disrespectful to even give her that.
Exactly. I was just like, oh God, why is he so dumb? I'm like, oh, I know why, but you know.
Well, when I saw that he was saying that his ex-wife was evil because she wanted child support, I knew what we were dealing with, right? I was like, well, I already know what we're dealing with here because she don't even care about the child support. The court is who's telling you to pay, right? Like it's your responsibility. And the fact that you're out here doing everything but doing that, I know what we're dealing with. So next week we're gonna meet another couple. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I
Yeah,
did.
so next
I
week we're gonna
hosted
meet
it,
another couple.
so
I think this is the last one. And then we'll be with everyone on the season, right?
I believe so. Like, so far there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. I think there were six couples from what I
Yeah, I think
saw
this is
before.
the last one.
Yeah.
So for episode 4, we'll have everyone, which is it's exciting. I didn't even realize that we were missing anyone. I felt like the
I
drama
didn't
was,
either.
yeah, I felt like the drama was pretty good the way it was. So I saw the new couple and I was like, oh, this is exciting. Another person to add to the chaos. So, oh, and tomorrow, I Love a Mama's Boy is premiering. So if you guys are not familiar, amazing show. I love it. As you guys know, I was a mama's boy for a long time. I slept in my mom's bed with her until I was 12. I was a huge mama's boy, okay? So I love the show. Like, unfortunately, my mom lives thousands of miles away from me now. We moved far away. But when I was younger, up until like 17, 16, I was a huge mama's boy. So I'm very relating to the show. I love it. So if you guys aren't watching, tune in tomorrow night. It's coming on after The Other Way. No, I'm sorry, after Pillow Talk for The Other Way tomorrow. And then we're gonna try to do an after show for that. Probably not tomorrow though, but we'll figure it out. And I have an announcement tomorrow. We're gonna be doing a podcast announcement tomorrow of collaboration. So I'll let everybody know about that. And oh, I want to make sure that I say get well soon to Kara. She's under the weather tonight.
Get
And
well,
thank you
Kara.
to, yes, please, we miss you. And Dee Dee too. We miss you
And
too.
Dee Dee.
And thanks to Gina for joining me tonight. Thank you, everybody, for listening and
No
chatting
problem.
along
I
with
do have
us.
one thing to say though. Sorry, I didn't.
No, it's okay.
Did you? I sent you the Debbie's picture with Colt is in my city, and he's apparently on the dating apps here right now
Is
in my city.
he?
Yeah, that's
I
my
did see you sent
girlfriend.
me that. Is
Yeah.
he like visit? He's visiting his mom, right?
Yeah.
But
Oh my God, no. And literally, they're having like this car-free day event near my house. And I'm like, oh, no, I ain't going.
Oh, you don't
No.
even want to run into him,
I
right?
don't
You don't
even
even.
want to run
I
into
love
Colt, that's for
Debbie though.
sure.
I definitely, absolutely love Debbie though.
I
I love.
know. I know. My friend and I have been like, we've got to meet Debbie. We got to meet Debbie. We got to meet Debbie. We could just never find her. But yeah, he is in town. I don't know for how long, but hopefully not for a long time. So he is in town. So I saw her the pictures of them, and I'm like, oh God, dear God. I'm like, no, the last thing the city needs is more dirt bags.
Yeah,
So.
it's peculiar too when somebody's only in town for a short amount of time, but they're on dating apps trying to look for people. It's like, so you know you're not in town for long, you're just trying to just randomly hook up with
Well,
random
she
people.
said that he was on dating apps. I can assume that he's on like looking for girls
Oh,
locally
I know
here.
he is. I know he is. That's
So
who he is. Like, I know he is. You don't have to sell me. I know he's there. He can be there for two.
allegedly, allegedly,
He can be
allegedly,
there for two
allegedly.
days and he would be on a dating app because that's just who he is.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
So
Make sure you're following Gina. I'm gonna tag her in this video and make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Mossy, georgemossy.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Mossy Show. Thank you for joining us tonight. Everybody have a good night and we'll talk. Wait, does he take care of his kid? Colt does not have a kid.
I think he means Lauren. No, he does not. He
No,
is
doesn't.
scum of the earth.
Does not.
No.
Good night, everybody.
Take night.
Bye.
Bye.